to District 32 Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Campbell, and it's my absolute pleasure to interview each of our members so you can get to know them just that little bit better. Now, when it comes to having things which are useful to you, both as a business owner and as a person, I can think of no better person to engage, if you like, than someone whose client lists includes their mum, their best friends, and their wife. So we've got Bill Hackett here, who has got client base that starts exactly like that. Bill, welcome.
Thanks very much for having me.
So, in focus, why on earth do your mum, your wife, and your best friend do business with InFocus?
Well, they don't do business with InFocus, they do business with me.
Ah.
InFocus is the licensee who are responsible for the advice I give, but they just want someone they can trust, someone who's not going to try and sell them something that they don't need, and they're not embarrassed about asking stupid questions, because there's no such thing as a stupid question when it comes to your money.
So if I have a few stupid questions, which I'm a little bit embarrassed about, you're not going to make me feel silly and giggle and go, oh my goodness, she didn't know a thing.
Well, if this video was turned on, you'd see that I don't wear a tie. But I don't wear a tie because I don't want to be appearing to be condescending. Because I've got clients who are housewives, truck drivers, solicitors and doctors, and they all say the same thing, but all of them are afraid of asking stupid questions, and there's no such thing. A client of mine bought a car recently. The stupid question he should have asked was, does it come with a spare tire? It doesn't. The Chryslers don't.
Neither does my MX-5.
Well, exactly. But did you find out that before or after you bought it?
No, I knew that because the boot's not big enough to put one in.
So that was good. So you were informed before you made the choice.
Yeah. And it did come with an alternative, which is it's got a breakdown kit as part of it. So the zushy, squishy thing.
That's it.
But you're right. If I was expecting a tyre, it didn't actually occur to me to look, I must confess.
But it's not a stupid question because it didn't come with a spare tyre. And if you're halfway between here and Kalgoorlie and you had a flat tyre, what are you going to do?
Why doesn't a Chrysler come with a spare tyre?
Same thing as the car you've got. It doesn't have a room and it's just got a can of whoosh that you put in the tyre.
Which doesn't help if you lost the sidewall. But anyway.
That's it.
There you go. Okay.
So it's just all about trusting someone, being able to be there for them when they want to find out what's happening. There's all this stuff that's been happening about the Royal Commission, about how financial planners, banks and insurance and super funds are not treating their clients well. And so you might be wondering, did the financial planner that give me this super fund or insurance policy do it because it was in his best interest or mine?
Right. Okay. Now, I've been having a bit of a look at my stuff recently. And because it's that time of year, insurances and everything gets renewed, there's an awful lot of offers out there. I mean, some guy was saying, oh, there's the budget direct stuff. It's always advertising, you know, and they won insurer of the year. How can something like Budget Direct, which is, well, you know, by its own name, budget and direct, how can they win insurer of the year if they don't have that personal care?
Depends on the criteria. It depends on how did they get voted? Did they ask all their friends to get voted? I have the same issues with some super funds claiming that they're the best super fund, average returns beating everyone else's, but they're not comparing apples with apples, and you don't see that. But then if you've got other companies that compare insurance companies, are they comparing three or are they comparing all of them? And so, yes, it's easy to pick one out of three instead of all the others, where you keeping out all the good competitors so that you can focus on those three. But that's part of the education. The same thing too with real estate. I hear that the Perth real estate market is supposed to be picking up, but then I heard from Perth Now that Perth property market's going to drop for the next 2 years. So are the people who are telling you that the property market's going up talking up the market? Have they got a vested interest or not? And one of the questions you need to ask me as a financial planner, where do you get your research from? Is it biased? And so that's quite important as well.
So working in financial planning, was this something that you've always wanted to do since you were sitting at your grandma's knee drinking cocoa?
Funny you should ask me that, because there was no such job as a financial planner 25, 30 years ago. And maybe your kids are going to be getting a job when they grow up that hasn't even been invented yet. So, yes, I was a bank manager in the olden days. I don't want to be a bank manager anymore, but I still do the same thing. I sit down with people, find out what their concerns are, their fears, their goals, and educate them to make smart decisions to assist them to achieve their goals. And along the way, there may be some products that may be able to help.
So why did you get into banking?
Because it was a safe job to get into. It offered progress, but ultimately you're just helping people.
So you obviously don't start as a bank manager, or did you just walk in as a bank manager and say, I'm a bit of a fan of black ties and I'm going to wear one of these?
No, I was 18 years of age and started at the bottom of the bank as a batch clerk in one of the banks, and then progressed my way to be teller, then bank manager towards the end, and then I did some other jobs as well, which were very exciting, and found out that I was virtually doing the same thing, sitting with clients, finding out what I can help them with. Was I qualified to help them? Yes, I'd offer them a solution. Sometimes it was a product, sometimes it was advice. In this game, we're providing advice first, then a product later.
So you came out of bank managing and straight into what you're doing now?
I started off with MLC and
so a nice large multinational.
Yeah, and there was a training program there, so I was nurtured, and with further study became a financial planner, but that's another half an hour conversation because they're changing qualifications for financial planners as we speak.
Wow.
So they're saying about 50% of financial planners are going to retire or get out of the industry in about 3 to 4 years' time.
Is that because they will no longer hold the qualifications that they want and they can't be?
Could be, because if you're over 60 years of age, you may not want to spend 4 years part-time studying if you're only going to stay in the industry one more year after that.
True, yeah.
So there's that, and there's a whole lot of regulations about how we're getting paid as well. So that's another conversation.
Because financial planners take a commission. Do they have a leading commission and a trailing commission?
Yes, but there is a small number of financial planners who can call themselves independent financial planners, and they are ones who purely get paid by charging the clients a fee. They don't get paid any commission at all from any products anywhere. But I'm not independent, and I'd prefer to charge a smaller fee if I'm allowed to get commission from insurance products. When it comes to fees, I look at different ways in which people can actually pay for them. And in most cases, I can actually have my fee deducted from their super fund.
Okay.
Because a lot of people are afraid to see solicitors because they charge like wounded bulls. I charge a fee as well. I try to find solutions which makes it affordable for them as well.
Right. Now, talking of the fees and obviously the charges which go with them, there's always a cost to doing obviously business, but there's also always a cost to having a product or having a service. The fees obviously are part of that, and are they always the same from financial planner to financial planner?
No. There are some financial planners that don't want to see clients unless they've got at least $500,000 to invest. I've got a lot of mums and dads who have got a whole lot less than that.
Is that because the fee that you get is proportional to the investment that you're managing?
Correct. So it could be a percentage of the funds that they're looking after.
Right.
And these days, financial planners can actually look at doing that or a set fee. I have this discussion with all my clients to give them a choice as to whether they want me to get paid a set fee or a percentage. I believe there should be an incentive for me to make sure that your super fund does well and grows. But then it's not my fault when the markets crash and it goes backwards because I'll get paid less. But clients are afraid that their financial planners are sitting around drinking coffee, going to conferences and doing bugger all and getting paid the same.
Yeah.
So there needs to be an incentive to ensure that it's in the financial planner's best interest, that it's in the client's best interest, that they've got a good product as well.
I guess everybody gets driven by incentives, don't they, in a lot of cases. Do you find that some of your clients are being incentivized by all the wrong things, the 200,000 frequent flyer points all of a sudden that Qantas Insurance is offering, or the new shiny widget over here, or the whatsamacallit over there? Does that impact on how you're running your business?
I'm trying to get people to not focus on the shiny things, like the 200,000 frequent flyer points that you may get by choosing your insurance with that provider.
But I can go all the way to London and back on that.
I know, but what happens in the second year? What happens when you make a claim? Would you prefer to have all the awkward questions asked of you when you're rational and healthy in front of a financial planner, or in a hospital bed and all you want to see is money, you don't want to be asked all these questions, and you don't want an insurance company saying to you when you're in the hospital bed, sorry, we're not going to cover you.
Oh, that's a shame. You didn't tick this box.
Something like that. So that's where I ensure that clients properly disclose their information to the insurance company, so there's no excuse for the insurance company to deny a claim.
So the value of these bells and whistles is really a sort of a first-year attraction. It's like this immediate payoff. So what are some of the things which they're losing out perhaps on if they're taking the bells and whistles as opposed to a solid plan or having those conversations with you? What's at risk here?
People's lives change. What if you change your job? What if you don't know that the insurance product that you've bought cancels when you change employers? You don't want to find that after you've moved.
They do that?
They do. So some insurance policies cancel if there's no employer contributions paid into it for 13 months. I've got some issues with some ladies who left the workforce to start a family, and they've got some insurance in place with their super funds. Their health has changed. They may have become obese or diabetic, and all of a sudden the insurance company has cancelled the insurance attached to their super fund because there's no employer contributions paid to it. And if you're a diabetic, getting insurance is bloody hard.
Because there's so many health complications. I guess that's the old advice, get it early when you're still young and healthy and maintain it.
But you would like to be in control of whether you want to cancel an insurance product instead of a union fund, an employer fund, or someone else. So that's where I've had some clients approach me saying, Bill, I'd like to reduce my trauma insurance. Well, my first thing is to suggest that they get a full medical done first, because we all have heard of Murphy's Law. So you don't want to start cancelling something and then find out later you've got a lump somewhere. Most people would like to be in control of their insurances. If they want to increase it or decrease it, cancel it, they want to be in control of that. But finding out afterwards, when you've found a lump somewhere or you're unable to work due to a car accident, whatever the case is, you don't want to find out that that policy cancelled 6 or 12 months ago.
So you can obviously review these things. If I've got death, disability cover, trauma cover, key person insurance, well, whatever that's called these days, used to be key person insurance, and they all sit within my super fund. That comes up for renewal. Can I change financial planners partway through? Am I locked in for a year?
No, you can do whatever you want.
So if I've just signed my reappointment letter with my financial planner,
yep,
can I go, actually, new plan? Can I get that transferred to you and you can review it for me and see if it's online?
Well, that's what I'm offering. I've actually got a neighbour next door to me at work who is a recruitment agency in the FIFO lifestyle. And I'm wanting to actually present to a lot of them to make them aware that they've got choices. And a lot of them have got 5 to 10 super funds. Yeah. They don't know which ones to cancel. They don't know which ones to roll them into. They've chosen one for every employer they've got. And I'm suggesting that they've got another problem if they've got a new employer, for instance, if it's with BHP, do they take the new BHP super fund, or is the existing one, or one of the 8 they've got at the moment, better than the new one?
Because the legislation's changed, hasn't it, recently, that when I started with Rio many, many years ago, Rio only paid into the Rio Tinto super fund. There was no other option. You could have other super, but they would pay.
You've got
into
choice.
It.
Generally, an employer has to provide a default super fund for you. You still need to decide whether that's better than the ones you've got. And if you've got issues with health, could that be better than the existing ones as well? But that's what I'm trying to educate people. I'm able to actually look at what you've got, tell you what you've got, find out what your circumstances are, and maybe give you an indication as to which one of those is better for you, or is there something better that you can do? But don't do as everyone else has been saying by just amalgamating all your super funds, because you'll cancel all that insurance, which may not be able to be replaced later. And so the cheapest super fund isn't necessarily the best one for you. An example is, okay, it's a boy example, is comparing a V-Dub Combi against a V8 supercar. A V-Dub Combi can do 80 kilometres an hour and is very economical, but will get speed wobbles. More than that, a V8 supercar can go extreme speed. It's got a safety bag in it. It's got better brakes. You can put more people in. You can tow a bigger caravan. And it's more expensive to run. So if you're comparing a V-Dub Combi to a V8 supercar, it's not saying that the V-Dub Combi is bad. It's just cheap and it's not able to do as many things as the V8 supercar can do. And so the V8 supercar with airbags and ABS and all the rest of it may have more safety features than the old one. So that's what I do, is have a look at the two and find out which one is better for you. So if you just want to go to the beach, which is down the road with a surfboard on top and sleep overnight, maybe the V-Dub Combi is good for you. But if you've got a family and a horse and a horse float and all the rest of it, maybe it's not going to cope.
So if people need to talk to you about this because they've just had an epiphany like I have and gone, oh my God, and I've realised I've got at least two holes, what I've currently got arranged, what's the best way they can get hold of you?
You can call me at my office on 92740146. If I'm on the phone or if I'm with someone, leave a message or get diverted to my mobile. But it doesn't cost to have a chat. And what I do with most clients is, if you want me to spend an hour with you, and there's no such thing as a free lunch, it'll be at my cost, I would like to expect that you would provide me some information beforehand so I can actually do a bit of homework before we meet. So if you're interested, give me a call.
And I know you've got a great coffee machine.
Yes, we do.
Thank you so much. I now have a whole stack of notes I've been scribbling here of things that I need to talk to you about. So I don't need to call you because you're right here.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for joining us on District 32 Radio. If you'd like to know more, please head across to our website, district32.com.au.